Welcome to the Magnetic Leadership Podcast by Educator Dave Johnson.
Good morning, everyone, and I'm so excited to reintroduce. So many of you know Larry like I do. I've met Larry, it's got to be 1988, I believe. It was actually before NECAN at a sales opportunity, a training, and just really got enamored. This guy is smart. He's been around a long time, and I'm thrilled because Larry goes way, way back into some of the earliest training and has helped millions of people. And he's going to introduce Robert White, who helped Larry. You've got a long time friendship, and I got so excited a little while ago in visiting with Robert that I've ordered his book. It's come in. And what a great title, Living an Extraordinary Life. And, oh my goodness, that's our plan. And to do that, all you need is some information and a desire. So, Larry, can you introduce Robert a little bit? And we just want to hear some really golden nuggets from Robert and where you've been and what you've done. And this is going to be an exciting call.
Well, there's a little bit of a problem. Most of these people that know me know that I can't say hello in less than 10 minutes. So to introduce this friend of mine that I've known for a little over 50 years now, I guess a half century sounds better, but I'm going to just briefly explain a little bit about Robert. He's a best-selling author of, as Dave says, his book called Living an Extraordinary Life. Those of you who get that book will recognize some very important points about the training that some of you went through, the two-day training. Robert was a confidant and mentor of Mr. Isamu Masuda when we were partners over in Japan all those years ago, and helped set up his training program that some of you have indicated that you've been a part of and that it's made a difference in your life. He has trained hundreds of thousands of people through his medium of being an extraordinary management and business consultant. He's done seminars in China and Taiwan, all over Japan. Just had a tremendous influence on thousands of folks. And most of you won't even recognize his name, although he's had a tremendous influence in your life. So, Robert, I don't want to take any more time introducing this specialness between you and us. Had some exciting times and some the peaks and valleys as we were developing that company over in Japan. But I'd like you to tell the telephone audience what is it that you'd like them to know about you, and what can they take away from this call as you share with them your story and your path on this extraordinary life path that you've been on. So let me turn the time over to Robert.
Well, first, an apology for this froggy voice. For the first time in over 10 years, I've been not well the last 10 days, and it's still affecting my voice. But if you can get through this artificial bass presentation, I guess, good for you. It's great to be with you. I've been noticing as I've gotten older that I sort for two things. One is, are the people that I'm associating with good people? I know that's really subjective and kind of airy-fairy, but it is what I look for. And in Larry Prophet, who I've known for so long, and my new friend Dave, I know I'm working with good people. The other thing I look for is a kind of passion, a craziness, a commitment to whatever it is they're doing in terms of serving people. So it's a delight to be with all of you. Dave's talked a lot about what he sees as the future, beginning with this team and then extending into the future. So if I can be a small part of supporting that, I'm a happy guy. When I was in my 40s, I have a distinct memory after a family event that I went to of saying to myself, when I get to be older, number one, I'm not going to be this old guy that just tells stories about the past. And then secondly, that I don't want to be a grouchy old man. And what I notice about myself recently is people are asking me to tell a lot of stories about the past, and I'm sometimes grouchy, but I'll use a different word, is that I'm impatient. I know a lot about what works in the human condition, and I'm impatient to share that and to see other people picking up the baton and going for the gold. So that's kind of the framework. In terms of the past, you know, the whole story would take 3 days or something like that, or the danger of another Larry Profitt introduction that's longer than the speech. But look, I've had turning points in my life that I think many of you can identify with. I did grow up in poverty and abuse and left home at 14 after my father died. I was an entrepreneur from an early age, like many of you probably were. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, I shoveled snow. I cut lawns. I delivered newspapers. The worst job that I can remember was scraping gum off the sidewalk in the middle of summer at Dairy Queen. But so I always worked. And using words that I learned later in life, I operated from a pretty simple purpose. It was kind of a negative purpose in that I told myself, I will never be poor again. And what that led to was a job in radio at 14, followed by when I was 17, I had the highest rated music show in the state of Wisconsin. You know, the customers at that time, radio and radio music was very, very big, the so-called top 40 shows. And the customers were me, my peers, my friends. So even though I was so shy, I couldn't get up in front of people, I could sit in that booth and communicate. And so at 17, I made more money than my father had ever made and was supporting my family at a distance. I graduated number 6 in a class of 300 from high school, and I was named most likely to succeed. And the part of the story that you might find, you know, with a bemused smile, is I spent the next 10 years making my classmates that had elected me wrong. I had an early marriage that I screwed up and felt horribly guilty about divorce. I had 3 heart attacks, I had daily chest pain, and my little sales business for one of the early network marketing companies was struggling. So my life was a mess. And a friend of mine, but during that period I met Larry. We were in training sessions together. We had similar roles in different cities. I was blessed to have a friend who went out and did one of the early human potential movement trainings called Mind Dynamics. And he came back and he was raving about this program. He said, you have to go. And the more he told me, the more I said, hey, you know, even though my life was a mess, I didn't want to hear about that crazy California stuff. And he persisted for 6 months. And I finally did the training, and all these years later, it sounds like a cliche, but it changed my life for the better. And in that 4-day program, they did not mention making money once, and they didn't talk about business at all. What they talked about was about me, about who I really was, about my purpose, my vision, my values, and gave me some tools to become more authentic. So my income tripled the year after that program, and it went up 10 times the following year. It included my selling that business and going to work for the sponsoring company in New York City and running the New York area for them. I went from working with 31 people in my organization to working with 850. So my methodology for being successful with those 31 directs was to interview them every week. And, you know, if you're willing to work some long hours, you can do that. Yeah, I go off to New York, and now I turned out to be a big turning point in my life, because now I had to figure out some way to work with 850 people. And the way that we decided to do it was with weekend sales seminars. And part of that program was to invite into the room the local New York instructor for my dynamics. And she would do a little talk, and then I would do a close. And eventually that led to 400 people being enrolled into my dynamics. I didn't understand the business. I didn't know anything about it, actually. I just knew it worked for me. It worked for members of my family. It worked for my distributors. And since, like Larry, we were both running cities and we were both getting paid a commission. And people's performance mattered above all. So that went well, and then one day I got a phone call from the founder of MyDynamics, Alexander Everett, and he introduced himself. I didn't know his name. He invited me to come out to California, which I did, and 10 days later I was president of MyDynamics. So that was a big turning point. I took a 70% pay cut to do something that I was curious about. And so I spent 4 years working for Alexander, 2 years in straightening out the U.S. business, and then 2 years internationally. The irony in that journey, I'm trying to make this a shorter call, is that I said yes to the Scandinavian countries. I said yes to Germany. I said yes to Italy. I said yes to England. I said yes to Australia. And I said no to one country, and that was Japan. At that time, Larry was running the operations of Holiday Magic, the sales operations on that side of things. And he's the guy that was responsible for my coming to Japan in the first place. But it was too expensive. We were too busy. The language is backwards. For a variety of reasons, I said no. And then Larry or one of his team members telephoned me or faxed me at that time to come to Japan. And I just kept saying no. In true Japanese style, they were very persistent. So the ownership of MyDynamics changed. Well, one of the 50% partners died in an airplane crash. And the other one, Alexander, was just a guy who was always exploring something new. So he sold his shares to the estate of his late partner so that they could get access to our cash. And I ended up working for a probate judge, one of the worst experiences of my life. So I quit and I started a company called LifeSpring, based a lot on MyDynamics, but also with some new material. Recruited some people from MyDynamics. A lot of people quit when they quit. And some people from outside that organization. LifeSpring went on to have 17 training centers in the United States, and it was a huge success. But not because of me, other than founding the company and funding it. 6 months later, I quit again. I quit my own company. It wasn't working for me. What I learned in that process is what I do today, which is to teach other owners of businesses that want to grow fast the importance of becoming clear on your purpose, your vision, and your values if you want to have a strong foundation for a growth business. That's one of the things that attracted me to Dave when we met for a long phone call last week, is he's clearly grounded in his purpose, in his vision and values, and wants to create an organization that reflects that. So I'm kind of in on anybody that makes that radical statement. So after I sold LifeSpring, I put every penny I had into it. I sold it for nothing down and forever to pay. And those of you that have had some entrepreneurial experience know that when you do that, basically they take forever to pay. But they did eventually pay me, by the way. And then I got a phone call from Japan, and they made me a great offer. I was broke. I was unemployed. I had a family, a mortgage, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I went to Japan to stay 90 days, and ended up staying the first time for 11 years. So that's my story. We built the largest experiential training company in Asia with 15 training centers in 7 countries. And just had an amazing good time. There were many rough times. One little piece that I normally wouldn't share, but I will with this group, is that I slept on Larry Profitt's sofa for 8 months because we couldn't afford Western housing for 2 people. So my wife and son went back to the U.S. because it was a lot less expensive for her and for the 2 of them to be there. And I slept on Larry's sofa. So I can tell you stories, and if we get together sometime, I'll tell you.
Stay away from Robert.
But that worked out really well, and when I was 46, I kind of quit again. We were doing really well. I moved to Aspen, Colorado, built a big house, bought a jet, did all the nouveau riche things that the kid that grew up on the wrong side of the tracks does, but he starts making significant money. And I had a wonderful 12 years in Aspen. I skied 80 days a year. I remarried, had two birth children and two adopted children, special needs kids. So I was busy, but I wasn't really working. I'd go back to Asia maybe three times a year. And I moved there because of a friendship with a graduate named John Denver. And John persuaded me to move down the hill from him in Aspen. And we traveled together for 6 months, presenting an environmental sustainability program. We did family vacations together, became close friends. And he's someone that I miss a lot and who I credit a lot in terms of learning and growth. I think we served each other in that way, which was great. Then I lost it all. A combination of inattention to my own business and divorce again. So I went back to work, and that's what I do today, is I work with owners and leaders who want to live extraordinary lives, have extraordinary results, but also a lot of fun and a lot of satisfaction. So those are some highlights.
Interesting. Peak and valleys.
Yeah, anybody that thinks it's all going to be just sunshine and roses and a path to extraordinary success, I think I'm an example, but there are many, many of them. And it doesn't mean that's fun. It doesn't mean I project that or want that. But I learned that if you could develop some habits around resilience, that will serve you well.
You formed a company called ARC International. I think it might be interesting to the group on what the ARC meant.
Well, when I first went to Japan, I was like a contract trainer for Larry's employer. And that went well. I did 18 trainings all over Japan, personally, not as a company, but as an individual leadership trainer. So in about 13 months, I did 18 trainings of 150 to 250 people. And so great success. And then the company that Larry was running started to struggle. He left. Oh, and during that period, Larry came to me one day and said that he'd been approached by a company called American Sales Masters, a sales training company that sold packaged training. And he wanted to buy the Japanese franchise, which he did. And at the last minute, they asked for a bigger down payment, and it stepped Robert. So I thought I was going to be a silent partner. And then everything blew up. And I recall the day that I was sitting in a Japanese coffee shop, and in my suit coat inside pocket, I had a ticket back to the U.S., and I was thinking, maybe I should just put my tail between my legs, admit defeat, and go back. And Larry and I sat down and talked about this sales training business, which was struggling, getting started. And I decided I didn't want to walk away from that investment or to walk away from Larry. By that time, Larry and Pat Crawford had become almost like family. So I stayed. Larry and I went door to door in Japan at a time when almost nobody, in terms of foreign entrepreneurs, were present in Tokyo. And in fact, we couldn't even start a Japanese company. We had to start one in Hong Kong and open a branch in Japan. So lots of stories about that. But that business eventually reached over 1,500 companies in Japan. So it went really well, actually. Larry returned to the U.S. And so I ended up without a partner. And he ended up with a ranch in Wyoming. How's that for shortcutting that one, Larry? But at the same time, I started a consulting company, and I restarted the personal growth business. So I was running three companies, and I was looking for a way to put it all together and just market one. And we were sending our trainers back to the U.S. to get advanced training from a guy named John Enright, a real pioneer in the human potential movement. And it was called the ARC training, A-R-C, Awareness, Responsibility, and Communication. And our people came back raving about this training, loving it. We brought John to Japan to do some trainer training on the scene. And during one of those meetings, I said to him, and he revealed to me that he had stopped doing the ARC training. And John is a researcher. You know, he's always on to something new. So he was no longer doing the ARC training. And I asked him, you know, could I borrow the name? And he said, yes, and that's the beginning of it. But it is an acronym for Awareness, Responsibility, and Communication, which is the heart of the work that I've done all of my life. So that's how ARC International came into being. And eventually to a lot of success. Between LifeSpring and ARC, the two companies I founded and led, we had over 1,300,000 graduates. For those people who kind of think like I do, all fully paid. No scholarships, no discounts. So those people are in every line of work today. But one of our graduates, I was at that time in the early days, I was leading our advanced training personally, and one of the students in one of those trainings, it was Isamu Masuda. And so that created a relationship. Originally, he asked me to be on his board of directors, which I, even though I knew little about Japan, even and that was about 2 years into my visit, I knew that wouldn't work. And they asked me to become what they call Kumon, K-U-M-O-N. You may recognize it because it's a chain of early learning centers in America, franchised, that are called Kumon. Its director, especially as advisor. And that's when you want somebody to attach their name to your company but not get in the way. And so I got offered that and I said no. So I said no to several offers. In the meantime, he's sending people from all over Japan to Tokyo to do our training. And so I suddenly realized I'm saying no to a really good customer. So I came up with this idea that I would work with him to install a training system inside of the silver training and gold training at that time in return for a percentage of the increase. So that if we were successful, we'd make money. If we were not, he wouldn't lose any money. So that was the beginning of that relationship. And we took Nikkei from $2,800,000 was their sales the year we started. And when we ended that contract, they were at $400 million and had expanded to Brazil and the U.S. My interpreter for those first 18 trainings in Japan, Todd Watanabe, pioneered the U.S. business and became CEO of Nikkei and eventually a co-owner. So there's a lot of connections. And Larry, of course, joined Nikkei. So I've spoken at their annual meeting. I've cut the ribbon with everybody when they built their big new warehouse and distribution facility and offices. I've been involved in many ways over the years. So that's ARC, Larry.
Yeah, to me, it's a fascinating story. I think one little vignette might be interesting, too. When we first introduced the film called Answering Objections to Mr. Masuda, we were just in the process of building that thing. We didn't have any money, and we sold it to Mr. Masuda. And he, in effect, financed the rest of the translations that we did for those film trainings, which was kind of an interesting thing, trying to dub or trade English humor, American humor, I guess would be a better word, into Japanese. I remember one of the films that we did was Norman Vincent Peale's film about why positive thinkers get positive results. And one of the phrases was, you may not understand why I invited a woman to our board of directors meeting. Well, frankly, we thought lightning might strike twice in the same place. Well, when we did the translation came out, we thought we might find another snake under the willow bush. That was quite an experience, putting them into Japanese.
We had a lot of fun experiences. I think anybody that started a business has stories that they treasure, and certainly you and I do. I think we're at kind of the limit of my time here this morning. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we can go a little bit as far as I'd like going forward. That's the fun stuff. I love the history of the past, and I've always been fascinated with this idea of mentorship, that whoever you are, if you're great, you probably had some really strong mentoring relationships, and Larry certainly affected me. And then I think of the late, great Jim Rohn. He might be referred to as the father of personal development, but as you get into that, he always talks about Earl Schoaf, and if you look him up, all those amazing quotes that Jim Rohn says, you'll find that Earl Schoaf got it, but where did he get it? Well, he went to an opportunity meeting, and it was network marketing. I believe that was J.B. Jones, who toured the country, much like Robert, giving lectures on the laws of success and whatnot. But I just think, wow, what a amazing university of the things that matter most, you know, the skills of being able to work with other people. And pretty much the best training ground is being in network marketing, where the training is ongoing, and just so much of who I am is because of all of this, and realizing how much Robert has touched my life, and I didn't even know him. But if you listen to Jim Rohn and hear all those wonderful words, then Earl Schoaf affected you, and J.B. Jones affected him. So it's just a fascinating idea how all of this works, this ripple effect. But I would say, what would be your best advice, Robert, for somebody getting in this? One of the thoughts I really love is some of the most successful people are ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And I that's what this fits in, is just getting into the basics, the fundamentals, and getting really, really good at it. And of course, if you're doing extraordinary things, you're no longer ordinary, and just learning, being plugged into all of this, it just really opens your eyes to possibilities, and you can live a much higher life and do much more than you probably think you can. And so I love you guys as just being eye-openers, lamplighters.
Well, yeah, thank you, Dave. There's at least part of that that's true. Excuse me. You know, I do a lot of what I do through stories, and so I want to share one with you. And that is, my kind of retirement to Aspen meant I had more time to think. You know, all of that time in Japan, it was 7 days a week of work and long hours, and I don't regret any of it, but it did cost me in terms of my family and in other ways. But it was great, and we built a great company. But when I moved to Aspen, I had time, you know, sitting on a lift, those beautiful mountains, or sitting with friends who would come to see me. I found out that if you have a guest house in Aspen, suddenly you're very popular. So people came to see me. Tom Watanabe came with his family for two different visits, and a lot of people. The rich dad, poor dad guy, whose name I'm blanking on right now.
Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah, Robert Kiyosaki came and spent a whole day sitting on my patio talking life and business and all of that. Yeah, so I had a lot of experiences like that and a lot of time to think. And in doing that, one of the things I thought about was network marketing. My personal involvement in it, then as a, I guess, training designer, all those connections, I took Mr. Masuda to Brazil personally and to the U.S. personally. We spent a lot of time together talking about life and love and doing what you're passionate about, all of those things. And what I realized is that it also came from living in Aspen, a resort town, which is that all resort towns have a dirty little secret. I don't know if you know that expression, but they all have it. So if you're living at a beach city in Massachusetts, your dirty little secret is sharks, or stinging of enemies, those little buggers that burn your butt. In Aspen, in the mountain towns, the dirty little secret is altitude sickness. A very high percentage of people go from almost sea level to 8,500 feet, and then they exercise and push themselves, and they get really sick. Aspen, I promise you, there are no Aspen promotional advertisements that mention that. And now I'm going to jump over from that to our business, to network marketing. Our dirty little secret is that somewhere between 80 and 95% of the people that join our companies fail within the first year, and quite often within the first 6 months. So that in a productive, and I have some understanding of how that works. Somebody says to them, this is a great opportunity, and what the prospect here is, I can get rich quick. No matter how careful you are in talking to them about your excitement about the opportunity, what they hear is, I'm not going to have to really change. I just have to get this business card, talk to a few people, I'm going to get rich. And I'm generalizing it, I'm probably exaggerating, but it's something like that. And then they go out and they find out that they have call reluctance. They're afraid to be rejected. They have bad work habits. They have beliefs that come from out of their childhood, perhaps, or out of their early business experience that get in the way of them being effective. So it's all about them. And that was true for me. That's why the my dynamics training was so successful for me. It got my bullshit out of the way. And I could be who I was. And people are attracted to authentic, I'm going to say, use an unfortunate term maybe, cleaned up people. People that have transformed. People that have taken the challenge to become who they really are. And so many of these people, I'm talking about that 85 to 95% that quit, they run up against themselves. It's like having a mirror thrust into their face. And the choice they have at that moment is to look at themselves, take advantage of the training that's offered, or quit. And a very high percentage of them quit. And when they quit, they make the company wrong, they make the sponsor wrong, they make the training wrong, because they have to make themselves right about their choice to quit. So I think that's really sad, number one, and just for human beings. And number two, it is a fatal flaw to our business model. So the heart of the work we did with Big Ken all of those years was to say, come and do this training and take a look at your stuff. Now, our trainings are based on three things, and I don't often talk about this openly, but with this group, I'll talk about it. There are three things you need to do if you want to be hugely successful on a personal level. The first is to complete your past. It's to let go of any blame, shame, regret, guilt, or past success. Because that part of that, and a lot of that's subconscious, but it's all there. And if you don't let go of it, it's going to be eating a bad meal. It's going to be rumbling around in your stomach and causing you to not feel good. The second piece, if you've done that work, is to learn to tell the truth about your current reality. What I've learned about myself is that I live in a story. And that story is, it happens to be an effective story in a lot of ways. But what it also does, every time I tell the story, I get at least a small step away from reality. And pretty soon my story sounds so good that I buy it. And I'm not able to tell the truth about current reality. How I'm showing up, first of all, for myself. How I'm showing up for my family. How I'm showing up in my business. And what feedback am I willing to listen to? So that's the second part of our process, is to learn to tell the truth about your current reality. The Buddhists have a different way of saying it. They say that goes too long. So the third piece is that if you've cleaned up your past, if you are now better able to tell the truth about your current reality, then you can choose your future. What most people don't realize is they don't choose their future. They just take what's happened to them in the past and attempt to throw that into the future and call that a vision. It's where they went to school. It was what their family was like. It was their first job, success, whatever it was. But absent cleaning up your past, absent telling the truth about your current reality, or the Buddhists call it a selfless regard for reality, you cannot actually choose your future. So there's a lot of unhappy people about that. So what happens is people come into the business thinking it's going to be easier than it is. If the network marketing company is responsible for helping people in that way of clearing their past, of telling the truth about current reality, of choosing their future, of learning some of the basics of personal development, if that's done, Larry and I have had this conversation, Dave and I have now had it, my friend Tom Chenault, a former client and close friend, it was the first person I heard it from. He says that success in network marketing is a great product, something unusual and unique, followed by an excellent compensation plan that really motivates you, and then finally, personal growth. Because when that mirror gets held up in your face as a new distributor, and your stuff starts showing up, do you run away, or do you meet it head on? And if you can do that in a personal growth setting, and for some people that's a book, some people that's a recorded program. You know, Larry and I were both fans of the late Earl Nightingale and listened to his program to lead the field until we wore it out. I haven't checked with Larry on that, but I'll bet it's true.
Absolutely.
And I can quote from it today, all these years later. So you can do that from a book, from a movie, from a mentor, a coach, from a training. The way to do it organizationally is to organize it and deliver it consistently. And that's what Beacon did. That's what grew them from under $3 million in sales to over $1 billion. That also happens to be my interest. You know, I'll close with this. There's a great line, I think it was from the American newspaper guy and humorist, Will, whose name I'm forgetting, but he said, never ask a barber if you need a haircut.
Never ask a barber if you need a haircut.
So don't ask me if you need personal growth training, basic and advanced. I'm going to say yes. It's been my life. It's been tremendously rewarding, and the graduates of our programs are my dearest friends, and so it's just been win-win-win all the way. So I'm happy to be with you guys, and I apologize for the tail end of this cold. I hope the next time we're together we can work a little bit more in a more fluid way. So thanks for the opportunity, Dave.
Oh, thank you, Robert and Larry. Oh, my goodness. Well, to quote Jim Rohn, who quoted Mr. Schoaf and so on, another thing, for things to improve, you need to improve. For things to get better, you need to get better. And what an opportunity. And then take this higher and better version of yourself and then put it in a great vehicle. And I love that thought. Wow, we have a great product. We've got excellent compensation. And so the only unknown in this equation of success is you. And when you get better, everything will get better. So, wow. Thanks. Thank you.
You become an attractor. People want to be around your energy when you are learning and growing. It's not something that responds really well to explanation. It is about energy. And the good book educates us on that. Think and Grow Rich educates us. Lao Tzu and Confucius educate us. The only question is, will we listen and learn?
And to attract, be attractive. And hey, like you say, clean up yourself. People are attracted to cleaned up people. I like that a lot. So
yeah,
we do have a transformational business for sure.
And one of the things that has made a difference for me is understanding one of my purposes is to experience joy in my life, but there are few things that bring more joy to your life, knowing that you made a difference in somebody else's life.
That's the real compensation plan that we have. And I believe it does it best. I love just getting a check that I look at that as a report card of your service rendered, but the emotional income, the spiritual paycheck of just knowing that you made a difference in the life of someone else. And I imagine, Robert, looking around the world, the amazing satisfaction you have of just seeing all of these people, all these companies, and that ripple effect where you've touched so many lives. Wow.
Dave, I'd like Pat just to share with you what she just said about Robert.
Please.
Well, I was just telling Larry here that you have made our journey with you has, Robert, yeah, our journey with Robert has really made a difference in our lives. Yeah, we wouldn't be the same.
Well, that leads to me being speechless, and it goes both ways. I treasure our friendship.
Yeah, Dave.
Well, thank you. Well, Larry, you've changed my life, and so indirectly, Robert, you've transformed me too. So thank you. I appreciate that. And I just got to say this too, because Pat was talking to Valerie a while back ago, and she just said, thank you for sharing Avini with us, because it's put the wind beneath the wings of Larry. He's in his wheelhouse. You can only play so much tennis, but to be actually in the game of going out and touching people, it does. It makes you young again. I love it.
Yeah. Well, true. I told him if he didn't get a job, I was going to have to. I'm tired of having him around the house doing nothing.
Right.
Good to be out of retirement. This has been a lot of fun.
Something I would encourage the folks on the call to do. It's free, and it's something that I really like doing, is that I publish a weekly e-zine called An Extraordinary Minute.
Yeah.
So it's usually a quote from somebody like Jim Rohn or others like him or her, and then a couple of comments from me, but all designed to be read in 1 minute or less. But it creates
we look forward to it every week. It's amazing.
What's the link?
I'm on year 15 of doing that, and several thousand people enrolled. So it's free, and you can enroll at therobertwhite.com, therobertwhite.com, and under the resources tab, it'll tell you how to sign up. You'll also get a 28-page essay that I've been writing and rewriting for 30 years about living an extraordinary life. So that's free also. And it's also, it's not protected, you know, it's shareable. And a lot of people in organizations use it for brown bag lunches or, you know, little study groups. And it's the only thing that I recommend that you actually print out. I'm a big recommender of not printing so much, using digital everything. But this is one thing that you should print. Again, it's free. It comes with your first message of an extraordinary minute. So sign up.
Can't wait to read it.
Anytime you hit reply on one of those emails, I read it for sure, and I respond to most.
Well, you've kind of teed up the whole thing that's happening in April, Dave, in Las Vegas, because that's what I enjoy most about it, is rubbing shoulders with people who are excited about life.
Oh, yes. Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, it's down to just a month from now. We're going to be together in Las Vegas, and we'll never be the same. So a transformational experience indeed. Well, thanks, everybody, and let's go share. Let's let the world know about what we have.
Thank you for joining the Magnetic Leadership Podcast with Dave Johnson. Take charge of your health and detoxify today with Avini Premium Products.